Set Free Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Set Free team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders, and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
God, as you can see in the upper left-hand corner of the bulletin, this is the sixth Sunday of Easter. And in a lot of churches, they just have, the Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, and then that's the last you hear of it. But in some churches, in the ancient churches, they have a whole Easter season, and this is the, as I said, the sixth Sunday of Easter. And as I have said before, Easter is a time of second chances. It is the time that God gave this world a second chance, and that they have failed Him. It's actually the 8th or 9th or 10th or 11,000th chance or whatever. As many times as mankind has failed God, as many times as God has come back and tried to give them a new way by which man can approach God, and each time mankind would pervert what God was trying to do, and this time God sent His only begotten Son into the world. Amen? And so this was our second chance. This was our last chance, as a matter of fact. And so Easter is a time of second chances. You know, each of us, I believe, have probably done something stupid in our lifetime. Probably Terry is saying, no, not me. Each of us have done things that we regret, that we wish that we could take back. And I remember when just a couple of months ago, as I've already related to you, we were going through the drive-thru at McDonald's just simply to get a couple of large iced teas, unsweetened, extra ice. And as I was in the drive-thru, I was trying to push my hand into my pocket to get the 17 cents change that was due, and my hand wouldn't go in, and so I just decided, well, I'll just push a little bit harder, and the result is that, you know, I broke my little finger. And immediately I regretted that decision. And I said to Terry, oh, no. And she says, why? What's wrong? And I said, you'll not believe this. And then I held up my finger, and the end of it was just kind of drooping down. I said, I broke my finger. And so I had just kind of decided, well, you know, you're stupid enough to break it. I guess you'll have to live with it for the rest of your life. And Terry was able to find a doctor that would see us, and we walked in, and he said, now we can't even do surgery on it. The surgeries are 80% unsuccessful for that particular joint. And the only thing that we can do is put this little splint on it. And so let's try that and see if it works. If it works, fine. If not, then tough. And so let me take this off. See, my finger is straight. Amen. See? All right. So even though I was stupid, God gave me a second chance. And allowed me to, didn't have to go through surgery. As a matter of fact, it was just $150 for the office visit. They even forgot to charge me for the splint. So, amen. I got my second chance. And when it comes to second chances, especially in the Easter story, there's no one who stands out greater than the Apostle Peter. He was always the one who was kind of presumptuous, He was always the one that he was the first one to speak and later regret it, the first one to act and later regret it, the first one to just jump in there and Jesus would have to just pull him back just a little bit. Not that he didn't have good intentions, he always had good intentions, but sometimes he just ran away with them. And you remember that Peter stood up and he told Jesus that though all deny you, yet I will never deny you, Jesus. And Jesus turns to Peter and looks at him, and I can almost hear the quietness, the solemnity of the voice of Jesus, where he says, Peter, before this night is over, you're going to deny me three times. Probably in such a quiet manner that the rest of the disciples didn't even hear the comment that Jesus made, but Peter did. And so we know in the Easter story how on the three occasions that Peter denied even knowing Jesus, even the last time swearing an oath that he did not know the man, and immediately the cock crowed. And Peter remembered just that quick the prophecy of Jesus. You're going to deny me tonight, Peter. And you don't get over something like that. You do not fail the Lord that dramatically and just go on with life. And last week we learned how Peter, even after the events at the tomb and even after the events in the locked room where Jesus appeared to them and showed that he was true to his prophecy that he would rise again after the third day, even after all this happened, last Sunday we studied how Peter just said, you know what, guys? I'm going fishing. And I'm sure that this was a decision that Peter made just after a lot of thought, probably meditating extensively on how he had failed Jesus. How in those final moments when he had the chance to stand up and just to be counted as a friend of Jesus, he denied that he even knew the man. And so in frustration, probably with himself, being so disgusted with his own failures, he decides that he's going to go back to fishing. His family still owns a large fishing fleet, and he's going to go back to fishing. That was the one thing he figured he could do well. And then we learned last week how this one thing he could do well, he was fishing before Jesus came into his life, and he'll be fishing long after Jesus leaves his life. And so they go back to fishing, and he took out several of the apostles with him. You see, it only takes one rotten egg.
That's right.
Amen? Somebody, when you're in a faith crisis, you need to surround yourself with people who can stand with you in the faith and encourage you through difficult times. And that's not what happened with Peter and the other disciples. Peter says, I'm going back to fishing. And several of the others said, I'm going to go with you, Peter. Let's go back to fishing. And so they fished all night. And last Sunday we saw what they were able to accomplish on their own when they decided to go back into the ways of the world. Fished all night and didn't get anything. Amen? And then as they're returning back to shore, how many of you have been fishing? How many of you have been fishing and didn't catch anything? Okay? And did you come back and say, what a wonderful day I had? Now, usually you get a little disappointed, although there is, you know, the saying that a bad day fishing beats a good day at work anytime. But, but this time, I mean, they were doing this for their livelihood, didn't catch anything. And here's this stranger on the beach yelling out, children, you didn't catch anything, did you? Oh, great. Well, we're here, we are in our 30s, and somebody's calling us children. And no, thank you very much. We didn't catch anything. And then the man, the stranger on the beach, says, well, throw your nets on the other side. And they caught such a catch. I think the Bible says they caught 167 fish or something like that. So great that yet it didn't tear the nets. And as soon as that happened, then John the Beloved says, you know what? That's Jesus. We've been here before, guys. We've been in this place before. That's Jesus. And Peter says, that's Jesus. And he dives in the water, leaves the fishing to the other guys. He's going back to see Jesus. And now it brings us to today's lesson. Because today they've eaten. Jesus already had bread and fish on the grill ready for them to eat. But He took the fish that they had caught and put those on the grill. And everybody has eaten. And then afterwards, we're here in John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. And here's the little dialogue that takes place. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Then tend my lambs." And we have discussed this particular verse in times past. And we know that Jesus is using the word agape, the purest love out there. "Peter, do you love me?" Agape, the purest God-like kind of love. And Peter responds, but he doesn't use the same word that is translated love in our Bibles. He says, "Lord, you know that I love you," but he uses the word phileo, which means a brotherly kind of love. See, Peter is still suffering from his disappointment that he feels that he is in the eyes of the Lord. He cannot forgive himself, and therefore he thinks that Jesus cannot forgive him. And so he says, "Lord, I love you," but he can't use that God type of love. And Jesus says, "You know, I'll settle for that, Peter. Tend to my lambs." Remember, Peter, last time we had this conversation, I told you that you were going to be a fisher of men. And that's what you need to be. Get back to what I've called you to do. And then, verse 16, he says to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And here again, Peter uses that word agape. "Do you love me?" with a pure God kind of love. And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And again, Peter cannot use the word agape. He says, "I phileo. I love you with a brotherly love." And Jesus said, "Okay, but I'm still not letting you off the hook. Shepherd my sheep. Get back to work. Get back to doing what I've called you to do." And then in verse 17, he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And what your English Bibles don't show you here is that Jesus is not using the word agape. Jesus uses the same word that Peter is using, phileo, in the Greek. "Peter, I can accept where you're at. I know what you're going through. I know that you cannot forgive yourself right now, let alone expect my forgiveness, although I have. And so, Peter, I'm going to come to where you are. And I'm just asking you, Peter, do you love me with a brotherly kind of love?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things." Okay, now he's talking to the Son of God again. Amen? "You know all things. You know that I love you." And again, he uses that Greek word phileo. "You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Then tend my sheep." And what I want us to see this morning is that although we are perfect in the blood of Jesus, even though when God the Father looks at us, He sees us washed in the blood of the Lamb. He does not see our failures. He does not see the sin in our life. He does not see the rascals that we have been in times past or just last night. When God the Father looks at us, He sees us washed in the blood of the Lamb. We may not feel that way, but that's the way God looks at us. And this morning, I want to let each of us know that it's only what we keep ourselves from doing, from accepting, that prevents us from being all that God wants us to be. Because the problem with us, just like with Peter, is we can't forgive ourselves. We feel that we have failed. We haven't done good enough. We have whatever, and therefore God cannot accept us. But the Word tells us that it's not of works of righteousness that we have done, but it's according to His mercy that He has saved us. Amen? And so we're not ever going to be good enough anyhow. Amen? For God to love us. Now, once we have accepted Jesus as our Savior, once we have experienced the forgiveness of sins, then that should motivate us to clean our act up just a little bit. Amen? Okay, I mean, you know, if you were a mafia hitman and you went around killing people and then you came to know Jesus as your Savior, I would kind of expect you to find another line of work pretty soon. Yeah. Okay. Different things are expected of us, but that doesn't change who we are and what we are in Jesus. See, Peter is here beating himself up, and Jesus has already forgiven him, and Jesus has already recommissioned him to get back to work building the church.
Amen.
Amen? What's keeping Peter from doing it? Peter. Amen? And so we have our lives. We have the lives of our children and our loved ones. And we see how the past failures have so haunted us or haunted our loved ones that they just feel that they can't really go back to church. They really can't go back to serving God again because they were just so bad. But the Word of God says that where sin abounds, then grace much more abounds. Doesn't matter how bad you were, Jesus is that much, to use Dad's term, gooder.
Amen?
Amen. Amen. Praise God. And so this morning I want each of us to recognize that there is a calling on our lives. Pastor isn't the only one standing here this morning with a calling on his life. Each of us have a calling on our life. And let me tell you something else. The Bible says that the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. You know what that means? That means that you don't ever retire from your gifts or your callings. That means that God doesn't change His mind. That means that while you're young and energetic and able and all of that, God gives you this calling to do whatever. But now that you're getting on a little bit in years, that God says, oh, well, now I can't use you anymore. Because He was never depending on our physical abilities anyhow, was He? Now, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. And once we have walked in that calling, just like Peter, once you've received that calling to live your life for the Lord, to do something, maybe you won't be a missionary in a foreign land, but each of us are called to share that love with those around us.
Amen.
Amen? The love of God with those around us. And once you have received that calling, and every one of us, the Bible says we are the called. We are the anointed. We are the... That's what we already are. And then He doesn't change His mind. So if God has put a calling on our lives, and He has, then that's never going to change.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter how badly we think we may have disappointed Him, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance.
Amen?
Amen? And so it's time for us this morning, just like the Apostle Peter, to say, well, okay, I failed the Lord, but the Lord has told me that He recognizes where I'm at. He understands. He's come down to my level. I don't have that boastful pride anymore that says, I'm going to get out there, and if Jesus needs somebody cut in two, I'm going to pull my sword, and I'm going to cut him in two. And if Jesus needs, you know, I'm the man, Jesus, you can call on me. And He recognizes how badly he failed. But now he recognized that that didn't affect his calling. God still has something for him to do, just like He has something for each of us. Amen? All right.
Father. Morning comes another day. Time doesn't wait. It doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make. How will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows. Will you choose to stand or fall? And just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the sea goes calm. You lie down to rest your mind. Here comes the rain. Yeah, welcome to the journey.